This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. On our program today, I'm going to be talking with Kayla Johnson of Sleepy Creek Vineyards, located in Fairmount, Illinois. They are hosting the Salt Fork River Art Festival this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Lots of art, of course, food, other entertainment, and lots of music as well from various local and visiting performers. And I'll be talking with Dr. Daniel Carberg, who is a music director for the Millikan University School of Music Opera Theater production of a piece that is based on a play by Molière with music by Marc-Antoine Charpentier. It opened last night, continues tonight for one additional performance only, and I hope you'll stick around to learn all about it. Our program today is made possible with support from the Illinois State University School of Music, presenting Stars, Stripes, and Sousa IV, a concert presented in the tradition of John Philip Sousa and the Sousa Band, this Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts.
Costanza le fere, quanto è pazza colei che mi crede, quanto è pazza colei che mi crede, quanto è pazza colei che mi crede.
We just heard an excerpt from a theater piece with text by the playwright Molière and music by the French Baroque composer Marc-Antoine Charpentier. It comes from, in French, what is called Le Malade Imaginaire, and in English translates roughly as the hypochondriac. This is a production that the Millikan University School of Music actually opened last night for just a two-night run on their campus in Decatur. So tonight is your second and last chance to see this event. And in the interest of perhaps piquing your interest, I have on the phone with me from Millikan University right now the musical director for this production. He's an associate professor at the School of Music at Millikan University, Dr. Daniel Carberg. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, good to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
So this is, I sort of hesitated in how to describe this, because although in your press release it says French Baroque comedy opera, it sounds to me like it's a play with music.
It is a play with music. It's a genre that Molière created, and then he worked with other composers in different operas. And it's called a comedy ballet in the technically correct French term, which is a combination of theater, comedy, and ballet.
And this, according to Wikipedia, which is the source for all things,
of course,
you know, and always deadly accurate, this had something to do, resulted from Molière, the playwright's, falling out with the court composer at the time, Jean-Baptiste Lully.
Yes, he was very close with Lully for a while, but Lully had control over all of the music in France at that time, all classical music. And they had a falling out, and Molière decided to kind of do his own thing. And so that's how this came about.
So he took up instead with Charpentier, so to speak.
So to speak, yes.
But Lully was also involved, or produced quite a number of these kinds of entertainments.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He apparently liked this style, so he also ran with it because it became very popular, and that's what audiences wanted at the time.
So was it something that was originated by Charpentier or by Lully, or was it current and they both continued in that?
I believe this is one of the first productions of comedy ballet by Charpentier, Molière, in collaborating with Charpentier.
I know that you and your collaborator, who is the stage director of this, Matthew Leese, who's an adjunct faculty there, have done a lot of work in early music, both as directors and as performers.
Yes.
And I wonder, I simply don't know the answer to this, is this something that is relatively new at Millikan, or have you done a number of these sorts of productions before?
We have done a fair amount of Baroque opera at Milliken, especially Matthew and I, and this is the first French Baroque opera that we've done, and we thought it might be too much of an undertaking at first, but Milliken students are wonderful, and if they're challenged enough, they just always rise to the occasion. We run a summer festival in Canada, the New Brunswick Early Music Festival, and we did this production in Canada this past summer. But not all of the students returned to Milliken, so we had to plug in a bunch of new people who had to learn these roles and in a very short amount of time, but they're doing a great job.
I know that Milliken has a very strong musical theater program there,
yeah.
And I'm curious how many of your singers come from that end of things versus the opera side.
Yeah, not all of the students in this production are performance majors. We have some theater majors. We have some commercial majors. Actually, the lead in the opera is a commercial music major who happened to come to Canada this summer, and he really took to it. So it's really nice to have a combination of different types of people.
And if there is drama, music, and ballet, how does the dance element figure in here? Are there good dancers in your cast?
Well, that's a very good question. We thought about simply removing the dance, but we wanted to stay true to the style and to the genre. So we have a choreographer who's one of the students in the production. He has a very strong dance background, so he came up with all the choreography, and it's the cast is doing the dancing. Not all of them have training. It's minimal dance, so it's not as much as it would have been in the original. But there is some dance, and I think they're doing a great job.
So not as much as in the original. What do you have in its place, or you just let music play out?
The music plays out, and there is dance happening where dance would have happened, but it is much more minimal. They would have had trained ballet dancers who would have come in and not also been the singers. So we're having the singers do the singing and minimal dance.
I'm talking with Dan Carberg, who is music director for the Milliken School of Music Opera Theater production of The Hypochondriac, English translation of the French original, play by Molière, music by Charpentier. And so far we have completely ignored the storyline. I played, a little bit of the music up front, and Matt tells me that this piece that we heard at the front called Zerbinetti is sung by the maid character, but usually played by an old tenor in drag. So maybe tell us what that lead-in was all about, and then how does that fit into the whole story?
All right, Zerbinetti is a song sung, as you said, by Toinette, the maid to Argon, who is the hypochondriac. And it's a really funny piece. It's actually one of the pieces. There are two pieces in the opera that are in Italian rather than French, and this is one of them. And he is saying, or she is saying, I should say, wise guys who always have that look in their eye, with your feigned desires, false sighs, lying words, you honestly believe yourselves, but you won't fool me. Oh, how crazy is this girl who believes in your type? So, she is in love with Polichinelle, who is one of the Commedia dell'arte characters who makes an appearance in this opera. And so this is her singing of the lament of how horrible men are, basically.
And how does this fit into the whole story?
It doesn't. And that is the nature of comedy ballet. There are so many scenes that they're diversions. They're intermed, and they interrupt the story. But what Matt brilliantly did was he somehow connected all of this. So in our production, there is a loose thread that connects all of these diversions and makes it still part of the plot.
But the plot itself does involve this hypochondriac man, bit of infatuation with doctors and medicine and so on.
Yes, he thinks he's very, very, very sick, but he's probably very, very healthy. And he wants to marry off his daughter, Angélique, to a doctor so that there will always be a doctor in the family. She is in love with Cléante, someone else, and so she's very upset. She refuses to marry the doctor, and he threatens to send her to a convent. And at the end, he is convinced by his brother to have mercy and to allow them to get married, but only if Cléante will train to be a doctor. But then there's a twist, and we find out that Argon is going to train as a doctor himself, even though he's an old man. As long as he puts on the doctor's robes and puts on a beard, that he will instantly become smarter. And so there's this fake doctor scene at the end where everyone that's been in the opera quizzes him on doctoral terms and medicine and diseases, and so eventually at the end he becomes a doctor. So that's the basic plot.
This doesn't sound all that much more outrageous than your average situation comedy on modern television.
It's true. It's quite true. It's really funny. It's a good show.
Well, let's hear some of the. Actually, we'll hear a good chunk of the prologue, and this. I don't have the text in front of me, so I don't know really what it's saying, but I understand this is in praise of King Louis, which I presume was obligatory in these sorts of things?
Yes, and Molière and Louis were good friends, and this is an homage to Louis. And in the original, this is Flora, who's a shepherdess, and she is getting all of her friends together in praise of Louis. In our production, this is a political rally, and Flora is the running mate with Louis. So that's and they're representing the Green Party, so that we could tie in this whole kind of pastoral theme.
and tie it into what's going on contemporarily, I suppose.
Exactly, yes.
And this is Louis XIV, I was
Louis XIV,
talking about.
Yeah.
This is from Marc-Antoine Charpentier's music for Molière's play Le Malade Imaginaire, The Hypochondriac, which opened last night at Millikan University, and we'll have one performance remaining tonight starting at 6 o'clock in Kuiper Hall in the Perkinson Music Center on the Millikan campus in Decatur. My guest is Daniel Carberg, who is a musical director for this production. You're listening to Live and Local. We heard some of the prologue, or maybe this was all of the prologue, I'm not sure.
No, there's still quite a chunk left of the prologue. The prologue is has a good chunk of the music of the opera.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you have to praise Louis for a good long time before you can start the play, is that the
exactly,
idea?
Exactly, yes. Otherwise the play gets stopped short.
Uh-huh, and it closes early.
Yes.
This is music by Marc-Antoine Charpentier from The Imaginary Invalid, is one translation. In this production being translated perhaps better as The Hypochondriac, and being produced by Millikan University's School of Music Opera Theater. The performance, there was one last night, there's the only other remaining performance tonight at 6 o'clock. And it's free and available to anybody who wants to come. How do you manage that? I always had the impression that if you're going to produce opera, it's going to be expensive, so you better charge some money for it.
I know. We have a small opera budget. We spend most of the opera budget on the spring production, but we have just enough to get by for this one. And so it's minimally staged and minimally, it's not a huge set, but I don't think that detracts at all from the production.
So if you have these characters, as you described earlier, as sort of politicians,
yes.
Does that mean you are jettisoning the whole Louis XIV garb that would have with wigs and so on, or you were using
it? No, we're in modern day.
I would love to see modern day politicians in that era of long curly wigs.
Maybe we'll come back to that someday. Who knows?
Try that in your next production.
Okay.
So this is. There is the plot, as you described roughly, and then, of course, this prologue having nothing to do with whatsoever with the plot, and then these little bits of entertainment in between that, as you said, don't have really much to do with, and we'll go out with one of these coming up. Anything else to say about how this all draws together? You said Matt Leese, your collaborator, is has made a thread that runs through somehow.
Yes. So I think in 1673, when this would have been premiered, people would have gotten up, they would have danced during some of these intermed, they would have gone out for a cigarette, who knows, gone home for dinner. But this is all, I don't think modern audiences can deal very well with that. So Matt has a connecting thread, and I think it just makes everything tie in together. There's no way to make it completely not confusing, because that is the nature of it, but it really does tie together, yes.
Does that imply that back in the day this would have been an extremely long production, and then people take a break and come back to it?
Most likely, yes, because, you know, they didn't have television. That was their entertainment. So it could have lasted for hours. And what survives, we don't know if there's more. There could have been more. There are bits and pieces, and there are several different versions of this that exist. So we don't know exactly how long it would have been.
By the way, who are the performers that we're hearing in this recording that we're playing excerpts from?
Kevin, I'm really embarrassed. I don't know the answer to that. Matt sent you that, and I'm kidding.
Oh, that's fine. Well, what I do know about it is that it's the ensemble, collective ensemble, which is both vocalists and performers, called Les Arts Florissants, directed by William Christie. And I believe I'm remembering right that that's actually the name of another piece of similar ilk by Charpentier.
Exactly. Les Arts Florissants is a short little comedy ballet, and it's similar in nature, although I don't think there's much speaking in Les Arts Florissants.
What sort of efforts are required to get your students to adapt the sort of singing and acting that they're used to the style required for this kind of music?
Oh, it's quite different, especially the singing. It requires just a different sense of line. There are particular French Baroque ornaments that they're not used to at all. And just embracing the French language, a lot of them have done some French, but there's a significant amount, and that just alone for undergrads is a challenge in itself. Just getting used to the style and the concept of inégal, where you loosen up a string of eighth notes, it's a whole different feel, and I think they're learning a lot from the process.
Okay, loosen up a string of eighth notes. What do you mean by that?
So if you see a string of eighth notes on a page, and normally you would go dot 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 da, in inégal, it's the sense that you're slightly swinging those eighth notes, so da 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 da, that type of feel.
Inégal meaning essentially unequal.
Unequal, exactly, yeah.
Not to say imbalanced.
No, not imbalanced, but unequal, yep.
Not exactly the same, but not entirely dissimilar to the swing that goes on in jazz, where people don't play steady eighth notes in jazz.
Right, exactly. There's a definite similarity. It's not quite as extreme as that, but it's close.
What about I guess you did answer the question I was going to ask a bit earlier, which is that obviously you're doing this in French then.
We're doing the singing in French, and the dialogue is in English.
Oh, interesting mix.
Yes, and then there are two arias in Italian.
Now, how do they get in there?
We think that those were added after Molière died, and Charpentier studied with Carissimi in Italy, and I think that it was a chance for Charpentier to kind of flash his Italian chops a little bit.
This sounds like the sort of piece where, because of how it was produced in the first place, that subsequent directors, including obviously modern day, sort of have license to recreate the piece somewhat at will.
Yes. I think trying to recreate it exactly as we have it does not work for modern audiences. Most people will take a bit of license with it, which we did as well.
And it sounds like you'd have a great deal of trouble recreating exactly, because it doesn't sound like you really know how it was done exactly.
No, and it seemed like it was constantly changing.
And that has to give a certain amount of freedom, but I imagine also some difficulty to the director and stage director to decide, well, We don't really know how this was done. What on earth am I going to do with it?
Right, exactly. When we first started looking at it, well, Matt had done this production at Longy School of Music in Boston several many years ago. And so he had to convince me that it was going to work. I wasn't sure at first, but yes, it really does.
So how did it go over last night?
It went very well. Everyone remembered their lines. The singing was beautiful. We have a little small orchestra, and they played beautifully. Lots of laughter from the audience. So, yes, we were definitely motivated to have a great show tonight.
And so obviously well-received by those who were there.
Yes, very well-received.
There's one more performance tonight at 6 o'clock of The Hypochondriac, or Le Malade Imaginaire, music by Marc-Antoine Charpentier, and text, the play, by Molière. This is French Baroque comedy opera ballet, and it'll be at Kuiper Hall in the Perkinson Music Center on the Millikan Campus in Decatur. The production is free, which is kind of amazing.
Yes, it is.
And Daniel Karberg is music director. Matthew Lees is stage director. And we're going to go out with what is called the third divertissement, in which four Moorish women show up to entertain the hypochondriac and his brother. This sounds like a bit of a more somber entertainment than what we heard earlier.
This is some of the most beautiful music in the opera, I think. And Argon, the hypochondriac, is just so upset that his daughter is refusing to marry the doctor, that his brother hires entertainment. So we have these four women from the carnival that come in to dance. And so, yes, they're entertaining Argon and trying to make him feel better.
Yeah, just a little
and
bit.
And what's interesting, in the original production in 1673, Molière played Argon. And he went through four shows of this production and went home after the fourth show and collapsed and died.
Wow.
So it's pretty ironic. We think that he died of tuberculosis, and we think that he knew this for a while, and that might be why he was drawn to this particular topic.
Well, now that would put a stop to the proceedings, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I mean, they replaced him eventually with another actor, but it's pretty strange.
Under the notion that Molière would have felt that the show must go on.
Exactly, yes.
And it will go on tonight at 6 o'clock at Millikan University in Decatur. Thanks very much for joining us, Dan, and best of luck with tonight's performance.
Thank you, Kevin.
Here's the ensemble called Les Arts Florissants, directed by William Christie, on the Live and Local. That was a selection from what's called the third divertissement, or entertainment section, from the comedy ballet, or comedy opera ballet, however you want to call it, called Le Malade Imaginaire, the Hypochondriac, with music by Marc-Antoine Charpentier, and it's based on a play by Molière, and will be presented by the School of Music Theater program, opera theater program at Millikan University tonight for one remaining performance only. Starts at 6 o'clock in Kuiper Hall in the Perkinson Music Center on the Millikan campus in Decatur. That performance, recorded performance, given by Les Arts Florissants, an ensemble directed by William Christie from their complete recording. Well, I assume it's a complete recording of that music. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Today's broadcast is made possible by these business partners: AgriGold Hybrids, Mahomet, Charles M. Hundley, Champagne, Michael Walker Consulting, Urbana, and Bates Commodities of Normal. These business partners join the friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you. My next guest on Live and Local is Kayla Johnson, who is actually the tasting room manager at Sleepy Creek Vineyards in Fairmount, Illinois. And she's also gotten involved in helping to book the various musical acts that come in with some frequency, including a whole bunch of musicians who are going to be participating in the two-day Salt Fork River Art Festival, which is in its fifth year at Sleepy Creek. It's tomorrow and Sunday. Tomorrow runs from 10 to 6, Sunday from 11 to 4. As I say, lots of music going on. But I suppose the big focus is the art itself. They advertise more than 50 artists, food vendors, music, and more. And Kayla Johnson is with me on the line. Thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So the fifth year, and I understand you've been involved in a couple of previous art festivals.
Yes, well, one previous. This is number two.
Oh, this will be number two. So I've not been there. Tell me, what's the festival like overall?
Festival, well, they set up between the winery and our pond and the vineyard, so you can see a little piece of every part of Sleepy Creek, but also we have various glass blowers and jewelry makers, arts and crafts set up. Everybody's got their own tent, and they're often doing live demonstrations. So like I said, the glass blowing, or people will be working on knitting and T-shirts. And we're also going to have the Ludwig Farmstead Creamery. They're located just outside of Fithian. They opened up about a year ago, and we'll have Mimi's Treat Boutique. They just opened up in the past couple of months in Homer.
Whose Treat Boutique?
Mimi's Treat Boutique, okay. Yes. They make amazing cupcakes. They make some freaky cakes. They've actually been on Cake Wars and some other things on the Food Network for making movable or glittery crazy cakes that, yes, you can eat them, but they look like sculptures also.
So they are pieces of art themselves and therefore fitting for an art festival.
Yes, tasty pieces of art. And then a new vendor this year is Richard Reese. He has a catering company, but he'll be doing barbecue. So we'll have barbecue and art and wine.
So what's the distance that some people come to display at this festival?
A lot of people are traveling from maybe just 2 or 3 hours out, but we've got a couple from Wisconsin area and southern Illinois coming up. So there'll be a few tenters throughout the vineyard, but also a lot of people just staying around the Danville area. So usually fairly local, but a few that travel 5 hours.
How does the a winery's tasting room manager get involved in booking musical acts? Or how did you, in any event?
I guess I have a flute performance background, and wine and music, I think, go really well together anyway. But since I'm a musician and a winery worker, I always want to have, well, I guess maybe it's my choice to have my kind of music come out here, but I guess getting to know some local bands that I think would be a good fit at our venue and that I like to hear.
So tell us who are some of the people who are coming, and where are they coming from, and what kind of music do they do?
Saturday we'll have a lot of soulful, folky music. We'll have Heather Dively kicking things off. She's a little more laid-back, almost bluesy country. And then Matthew Davies from Wisconsin will be playing. He's got his own style of also kind of blues folk. Then the Prairie Dogs from the Champaign-Urbana area. After that, the Curses, who maybe we'll get to hear. And the Half Brothers, who will be finishing off the day Saturday.
I know about the Prairie Dogs. They're a bluegrass group, bluegrass and other sorts of old-time things. What do the Half Brothers do?
The Half Brothers, I actually was just introduced to them yesterday or the day before. But
You'll find out along with everybody else.
I will find out with everybody else if I get to hear.
And then on Sunday also starts, opens on Yeah, opens on a Sunday at 11 o'clock with Cara Morisi, who is somebody who I was from Champaign-Urbana. I know her a bit as an actor and singer.
Mm-hmm. She will be doing some solo stuff for about an hour. Then Matthew Davies again. And the Homer Accordion Club, who's been out here quite a few times before and bring out actually a really fun little crowd, and they do a little sing-along and it'll play from 1 to 2, and belly dancing from about 2 to 2.30, and they'll always do kind of a audience seminar after they're done, which is usually fun.
And an audience what?
Like a participation. They'll do like short lessons after they're finished. Whoever wants to have a quick little lesson or...
in how to belly dance.
Learn more about it, yeah. Yes, so they're going to do a little bit of that when they're done with their performance. And actually, I just found out about this. They have somebody in who is from, I think, Indianapolis, who's apparently a professional belly dancer and is very good. So they will have kind of a soloist or feature performer. So that should be interesting. My first up-close belly dancing performance, I will see. And then following that will be Mike Ingram to finish off the afternoon.
Mike Ingram is sort of singer-songwriter type, or?
Yeah, singer-songwriter. He, I think, will be performing with the Half Brothers. He also, I'm not sure if he's been out here either. I've seen him the Champaign area, but they'll do whatever he does best.
So it's a nice mix of music and also, of course, all the art and crafts and food and things going on at the Salt Fork River Art Festival at Sleepy Creek Vineyards in Fairmount. It's this weekend, Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday from 11 to 4. And no admission charge, but donations taken, right?
Exactly, yes. Which a portion of our sales plus all donations will go to protect local rivers and streams.
And if one wants more information on Sleepy Creek Vineyards generally and to find out the schedule of other performers coming up, what's your website?
It is sleepycreekvineyards.com, and we're on Facebook and Twitter and all those.
All the usual
social
places.
Social media sites.
Yeah. Kayla Johnson is tasting room manager for the vineyards and also helps with booking the music, and appreciate your letting us know about it. I mean, I didn't realize it was going on, and so I appreciate your telling me, and then we're able to tell our listeners as well. And maybe I've been to the vineyard once to hear a pretty unusual group probably about a year ago. It's a nice place to hear music, nice place to taste some wine, have a little food and cheese and so on. So I recommend it as a little drive for those for whom it would be a drive, not too far from Danville, not too far from Champaign-Urbana, and not too far from any of other places in between. Kayla, thanks very much for joining us and letting us know about it.
Yes, my pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
And I had hoped to be playing some music from a group called The Curses, who are one of the bands I think will be on this schedule, or at least at one point were on this schedule. Unfortunately, I can't seem to find my CD of that. So with no connection whatsoever to the art festival that will be happening at Sleepy Creek, this is a cut from one of the groups that has been in our area with some regularity, and we've had live on our show once and had a previous conversation with them. They come down from Chicago. They're the Andreas Kapsalas Goran Ivanovich Guitar Duo. This is from their self-titled CD, and the tune is called Samba in Ten.
Thank you.
It was music composed, performed, and arranged by duo guitarists Goran Ivanovich and Andreas Kapsalis. It's called Samba in Ten from their CD titled simply Andreas Kapsalis, Goran Ivanovich Guitar Duo. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9, where we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday, it's a tasting of wines from Italy, followed from 7 to 9 by the music of Samba Soul. Details are on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. I'm Kevin Kelly, and here are some of the events you can see and hear live in our listening area this weekend. There are a lot that I've got, and probably many more that I don't have. So let's see what we can get through. The Milliken University School of Music Latin Jazz Project is giving a concert tonight at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Decatur, 7:30. Illinois Wesleyan University's Wind Ensemble will perform tonight at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts at 7:30 as well. Also at 7:30, the Eastern Illinois University Wind Symphony and Jazz Ensemble giving a concert called Life in the Groove, The Influence of Jazz. That'll be at the Endowed and the Fine Arts Center in Charleston. It's 12 Angry Men at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. At Illinois State University, the theater and dance departments present Anonymous at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. The Don Smith Band play swing music at the Decatur Airport tonight starting at 7 o'clock. It's Ken Smith and Friends playing jazz at Bouvon's in Urbana this evening at 6:30. Black Magic Johnson play the blues at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur tonight at 9 o'clock. It's the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged at Schilling Auditorium of Richland Community College in Decatur tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock. Dan Hubbard is at Memphis on Main in Champaign this evening at 6 o'clock. The Pygmalion Music Festival is going on all weekend at various locations in and around Champaign-Urbana, so you can check out their website for more information. Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater are presenting Move Over Mrs. Markham in Goodfield. That's tonight and tomorrow, 6 o'clock dinner time, and Sunday at brunch time at about noon. Samba Soul will be at Bouvon's in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. I mentioned Dan Hubbard earlier at in Champaign. His band, The Humidors, will be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The Klezmer band, Don't Ask, will be playing at Strawberry Fields in Urbana tomorrow morning at 11. Fiddler Betsy Ellis will be with Robin Kirton, Tom Foe, and Sam Payne at Techline in Champaign tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. It's the Illinois Symphony Orchestra with the Heartland Jazz Orchestra putting on the glitz at the Doubletree Hotel in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. The Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra is performing at Rammelkamp Chapel on the Illinois College campus in Jacksonville tomorrow night at 7:30. Illinois State University presents Stars, Stripes, and Sousa 4. The concert will be at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. The Cuban band Sandunga will be at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Kevin Hart and the Vibe Tribe are at Lock, Stock, and Barrel Indicator tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. And on Sunday, University of Illinois Wind Orchestra is at the Krannert Center in Urbana, Sunday 7:30 in the evening. A Slavic music concert at Illinois Wesleyan University with violinist Vadim Mazo and pianist Eva Ferguson. That'll be at Wesleyan's Westbrook Auditorium in Bloomington, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And Lady Carol and Her Knights play the blues at Swingers in Bloomington, Sunday night at 8 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It'll be mostly clear tonight, the low 45, although it looked awfully cloudy out the window a moment ago. Tomorrow mostly sunny with a high of 72. And Sunday, mostly clear with a high of 70 degrees. We're currently at 69. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local, going out with little bit from a group called The Outside Track. This song is called Swerving for Bunnies. Stay tuned for All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock.